ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट फोर ना हि अल्पार्थो दयस् तस्य विदुरस्य अमलात्मनः विदुरस्यामलात्मनः तस्मिन् वर्यसि प्रश्न साधुबादो अपबृंहितः साधु वादोपबृंहितः साधुवादोपबृंहितः नहि अल्पार्थो दयस्तस्य नहि अल्पार्थो दयस्तस्य विदुरस्यात्मलात्मनः तस्मिन् वर्यसि प्रश्न साधुवादोपबृंहितः नहि अल्पार्थो दयस्तस्य विदुरस्यामलात्मनः तस्मिन् वर्यसि प्रश्न साधुवादोपबृंहितः नहि अल्पार्थो दयस्तस्य विदुरस्यामलात्मनः तस्मिन् वर्यसि प्रश्न साधुवादोपबृंहितः
Mataji's.
never.
He is.
Certainly.
Alpa artha.
Small. Unimportant. Purpose. Udayaha. Raised. Tasya.
His.
Vidurasya.
Of
Vidura.
Amala
Atmanaha.
Of
the saintly man.
Tasmin.
In that.
Variyasi.
Highly purposeful.
Prashnaha.
Question.
Sadhuvada.
Things approved by sense and sages. Upabringhitaha.
Full with.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya must have been very purposeful, on the highest level, and approved by learned circles. Please repeat after me. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord.
Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord.
And therefore,
his
questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya
must have been very purposeful.
On the highest level,
and approved by learned circles.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Questions and answers among different classes of men have different value. Inquiries by mercantile men in business exchange cannot be expected to be highly purposeful in spiritual values. Questions and answers by different classes of men can be guessed by the caliber of the person concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, the discussion was between Lord Sri Krishna and Arjuna, the Supreme Person and the Supreme Devotee respectively. The Lord admitted Arjuna to be His devotee and friend, Bhagavad Gita 4:3. And therefore, and what is that shloka, who remembers? Where Krishna declared Arjuna to be His friend and a devotee. Okay, very good. How many of you know? Raise your hands. Okay, very good. And how many should know? Okay. And how many will make an effort to know? Very good. And therefore, any sane man can guess that the discussion was on the topic of Bhakti Yoga system. Actually, the whole Bhagavad Gita is based on the principles of Bhakti Yoga. There is a difference between karma and karma yoga. Karma is regulated action for the enjoyment of the fruit by the performer. But the karma yoga is action performed by the devotee for the satisfaction of the Lord. Karma yoga is based on bhakti, or pleasing the Lord, whereas karma is based on pleasing the senses of the performer himself. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one is advised to approach a bona fide spiritual master when one is actually inclined to question from an elevated level of spiritual understanding. A common man who has no interest in spiritual value has no need to approach a spiritual master just as a matter of following fashion. As a student, Maharaj Parikshit was serious about learning the science of God, and Sukadeva Goswami was a bona fide spiritual master in the transcendental science. Both of them knew that the topics discussed by Vidura and Rishi Maitreya were elevated, and thus Maharaj Parikshit was very interested in learning from the bona fide spiritual master. Nahi alpartho dayastasya vidurasya malatmanaha tasmin bariyasi, tasmin bariyasi prashna, sadhu badhu vibrinjita. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya must have been very purposeful, on the highest level, and approved by learned circles. So, who is questioning? Parikshit Maharaj is questioning Sukadev Goswami. So here we can see the nature of a pure devotee. Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave his body. He knows that there is only 7 days left. And he is actually preparing for that. He is preparing himself to leave his body. Generally, what do the common people do when you get to know that you have only 7 days left? Generally, people will try to find out the best doctor, right? Or if there is some way, that some treatment that can cure him. But a person who is materially detached and spiritually advanced or spiritually inclined, his tendency will be to be aware more about how to leave the body and how to fix the mind on Krishna and so forth. But Parikshit Maharaj, from this question itself, we can understand what is Parikshit Maharaj's level of advancement. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, please tell me, what happened between Vidura and Maitreya? Apparently it sounds like he is interested to know about some activity of two great personalities. But actually, what is Parikshit Maharaj's inclination? What is Parikshit Maharaj's attitude at that time? What's the purpose of you asking the question? He knew that through this discussion that went on between Vidura and Maitreya, he will get the perfect spiritual answer. Because he knew when these two personalities met, they did not discuss about any mundane topic. They did not even discuss about ordinary spiritual topic. They discussed about the highest spiritual topic. Therefore, through these questions and answers between advanced devotees, we can understand what spiritual reality actually is like. He was completely convinced about that discussion must have been so wonderful. Because Vidura, by nature we can see Vidura is so detached. And at that time what happened? Vidura was also in a state when he became completely detached from everything material. Even if he had a slight bit of attachment, that attachment was gone. Because he was insulted and he left home. He was so badly insulted by Duryodhana that he just right there he left his home. And then while traveling, he came across Maitreya Rishi. So when he came across Maitreya Rishi, then he found he questioned about the actual spiritual subject matter, which is he wanted to know about Krishna. So Vidura Maitreya Sambhad will reveal a very interesting aspect of spiritual. So we should be interested about so from this we can understand that our degree of advancement will be justified, will be determined by the questions we asked or the questions we have in our mind or the way things go on in our minds. Like, as a devotee, we come across things that had never would have occurred to us before. When we are not a devotee, we never even thought of
considering those matters. Like as a devotee, sometimes we become aware that there is so much envy in our heart. And envy is the last snare of our material bondage. Envy is the last knot with which we are tied down to the material nature. Therefore, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been pointed out that when the heart becomes free from envy, and this actually meant, free from envy meant free from everything else, all the enemies of the heart. What are the enemies of our spiritual progress? Shadaripus, but we have six enemies. What are those six enemies? Yes? And? Mad and Matsarya. So Matsarya, what is the English word for Matsarya? That's Matsarya is the Sanskrit word for envy. So Parama Nirmatsaranam. So when the heart becomes free from envy, Prabhupada is pointing out, that means the heart has become free from all other impurity. That means lust, kaam, krodh, lust, greed, anger, illusion and pride have already been removed from the heart. So envy is the last and most difficult one to conquer. Because the cause of our fall down is our envy of why we lost our situation in the spiritual sky and fallen into the material nature. Prabhupada repeatedly pointed out it is because of envy. And envy towards whom? Envy towards Krishna. We could not tolerate that Krishna is the greatest. We wanted to become the greatest ourselves. We could not tolerate that Krishna is the supreme proprietor. We wanted to become the proprietor ourselves. We could not tolerate that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We wanted to be the supreme enjoyer ourselves. And the result is, now we are in a material nature. Plenty of opportunity now to become the greatest. To become the supreme proprietor. To become the supreme controller. To become the supreme enjoyer. Yes, you have plenty of opportunity to become the supreme proprietor, supreme controller, supreme enjoyer. But the problem is that more we try to do that, the more we suffer. This is what Maya's trick is. This is Maya's punishment. We try to enjoy, what does Maya give us? Punch. Not even a punch, a kick. Punch can be tolerated, but a kick right on the face. It's one thing, it's painful and it's humiliating. So you try to become the greatest? Yes, you have an opportunity to try to become the greatest, but what will you get? A solid kick up in the face from my punishment. You want to be the supreme proprietor? Fine. Try to become the proprietor. Another kick. You want to become the supreme enjoyer? Another kick. So this is the cause and the effect of our envy towards Krishna. Due to our envy towards Krishna, we have fallen down into. Due to our envy towards Krishna, we are suffering. Therefore, envy is the last word. And we can see what is envy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a very beautiful definition of envy. The definition of envy is to become happy at others' distress. and being distressed and others' happiness. Paro sukhe dukhi and paro dukhe sukhi. When we see that the others are suffering, we become very happy. And when we see that others are enjoying, then we suffer. Why he is enjoying? Why not me? Now, before we became a devotee, these things never really occurred to us. But as a devotee, it occurred. We begin to detect that there is envy in our hearts. And it's coming out in that way. When I see that others are suffering, I feel happy. And when we see that others are enjoying, I become sad. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in his Sharanagati, in the Daino aspect. Amar jivan sada pape rato nahi kopun nirvesh. Paro sukhe dukhi sada mithya bhashi paro dukho sukho. Paro dukho sukho kar. Other suffering gives me great delight. Paro dukho sukho kar. And paro sukhe dukhi. When I see others are enjoying, others are happy, then I feel sad. Now that is what envy is. Now doesn't it happen? So often we notice that. And as a devotee, we do notice that. And then what is the prayer? The more advanced we are, the more intense will be our prayer to Krishna. Krishna, please let me get rid of this. Why it's happening to me? I can't free myself from this very difficult influence, very difficult mentality. But you please help me. You please. So this is the prayer of a devotee. One doesn't become a pure devotee overnight. But going through his life, continuously trying to detect the impurities in the heart and purifying those impurities, he becomes a pure devotee. Of course, the pure devotees are there. Sometimes pure devotees come and take birth on this planet to establish Krishna's mission. But people in general, we all are impure in this material age. And it is not that just by getting a title you will become a pure devotee. Oh, I am now a spiritual master, so I must be a pure devotee. Because everybody is thinking that I am a pure devotee. Rather, that will become a trick. That we have to understand that's a trick of mind. The moment we think that we have become a pure devotee, rather, we have to always remember that there are so many impurities in the heart. Let me deal with that. Let me not become complacent and think that everything is all right. Everything is wonderful. I'm getting so much worship. I'm getting so many facilities. I have got so many followers. Now I must have become a pure devotee. The more this distinction, adoration and profit comes, we have to understand the Maya is going to become stronger and stronger. The more worship we have, more vulnerable we are towards Maya. More adoration we have, we are more vulnerable. More, in this way we have to see our vulnerable situation all the time. But if we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna will give the protection. Therefore, the prayer of a pure devotee is prayer of a devotee, including a pure devotee, is always, Krishna, please protect me. Even Prabhupada is praying to Krishna. Krishna, please protect me that I do not fall into Maya. But Prabhupada is teaching us. Haridas Thakur is praying. Lord Brahma himself has taken the birth in a Muslim family in order to become humble. His prayer, Lord Brahma, after he offended Krishna by stealing the calves and the cowherd boys, Brahma felt so guilty that he not only begged forgiveness from Krishna, but he prayed to him that in your next pastimes, please don't give me an exalted birth. Let me be born in a very, very degraded, low class family, so that I won't have any pride of my situation of being born in a very high class position. So humble, Haridas Thakur, born in a Muslim family, and he always considered himself to be so fallen. He considered himself so fallen that he would not go anywhere near Jagannath temple. Haridas Thakur did not even go inside Jagannath temple. He would just offer his obeisances to the flag and the chakra on top of Jagannath temple from a great distance. So humble. Haridas Thakur is so humble that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take prasad and invite all the devotees to come and sit down, Haridas Thakur will just stay far, far away. He will consider himself to be so fallen that he would stay far away. And when Mahaprabhu would call him, Haridas, come here, sit down, take prasad, Haridas Thakur said, no. Let everybody take prasad and I'll take their hands. And then we can consider Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, such an exalted personality. Such an exalted personality that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes were revealed in his heart and he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not present when Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami was not in Navadvip with Mahaprabhu. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami was not in Jagannath Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami was not with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was traveling in places of pilgrimage. But how could Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami write this Chaitanya Charitamrita with such detail? Let us now remember, how did Valmiki write Ramayana? Do you remember how Valmiki wrote Ramayana? Even before Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Before Lord Ramchandra enacted his pastimes, Ramayana was written by Valmiki. How? The pastimes of the Lord was revealed. He was such a great devotee of Lord Ramchandra that the pastimes were revealed in the heart. Just as one watches movies or TVs, he was seeing the pastimes of the Lord in his heart. And that's what he wrote. These are the signs of a pure devotee. But Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, how he is displaying his humble situation. I am more fallen than a worm in the stew. Jagai madhai hoite muishe papishto. I am more fallen than jagai and madhai. What a humble disposition. But who is he? He is one of the most exalted devotees of the world. This way we can see that more one makes spiritual advancement, the more humble he becomes. When one becomes advanced, he never thinks that he has become advanced. When one becomes advanced, he doesn't think that now I have become a pure devotee. No, rather he considers that I'm so fallen, I'm so degraded. And is it an artificial thing? No. That is how he really feels it in his heart. And he prays to Krishna, Krishna, please protect me. Krishna, please allow me never to leave the shelter of your lotus feet. And so these are the signs of an advanced devotee. And in that advanced stage, when a devotee asks questions, those questions become most relish. Those question and answer sessions become most relishing. There are two reasons for why we ask questions. One reason for asking questions is to dispel the doubts or to remove the ignorance. One purpose of asking question is to know. What we do not know, we ask questions about that and we get to know. And another purpose of asking question is to relish the pastimes of the Lord. I'm talking about the transcendental question, the questions pertaining to transcendental. So when great personalities like Vidura meet Maitreya, when great personalities like Parikshit Maharaj meet Sukadev Goswami, when great personalities like Shaunaka Rishi meets Suta Goswami, those questions they ask is simply to relish the pastime. Sometimes we notice that we don't really have any question because we already know. Therefore we don't have any question. But transcending that situation, we come to another situation when we question, just to relish. Please tell me what happened when Vidura met Maitreya, as Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami. And at one point, actually, Prabhupada told me that Vidura was more advanced than Maitreya. Although Vidura is asking the questions, but actually Vidura is more advanced than Maitreya. Why? Because the intimacy that Vidura had with Krishna, which means that Vidura is a more intimate devotee of Krishna than Maitreya. Ultimately, the consideration of one's advancement is in one's attachment to Krishna. The more attached one is to Krishna, the greater it is of a devotee. Yes. So, these personalities are eternal associates of Krishna. Vidura, Arjuna, and what to speak of the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. What to speak of the gopis of Vrindavan. They are the highest of all devotees. And devotees' activities are difficult to understand. Like we are seeing, Radharani is worshipping Suryadev. Radharani is worshipping Katayanini. Radharani is worshipping, apparently worshipping different demigods. She is offering all her respect, but spiritually who is the highest? When you look at the spiritual calculation, the elevation according to one's spiritual advancement, then who is the great, most elevated spiritual personality? Srimati Radharani. Spiritually situated personality. Of course, most elevated spiritual personality is Krishna. But then is the consideration of Krishna's devotees. Krishna is the greatest. But next consideration is the greatness is according to one's devotion to Krishna. In Brihad Bhagavatam, it is the first part, it has been very graphically described how Radharani is the greatest devotee. But apparently, Radharani is just a cowherd woman, not very educated. Really, she never went to school. And what does she do? Throughout the day, she churns water, make dahi, make ghee and butter. She is cooking for Krishna. She is tending the cows. But spiritually, she is the most advanced personality. So this is how we have to recognize the ultimate consideration of spiritual advancement is one's attachment to Krishna. Our knowledge and our wisdom is not important. As far as knowledge and wisdom is concerned, yes, Maitreya Rishi is very advanced. The Rishis are very advanced. Very advanced because they are very learned, very wise, they are very learned, they are profound thinkers. But devotion is the most important consideration, not wisdom. Somebody may be very wise, but if he is not attached to Krishna, what's the value of his wisdom? On the other hand, somebody may be illiterate, but if he is attached to Krishna, then that is, then he is most advanced. There had been so many devotees who were actually apparently illiterate. One such example is Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was not educated, he was illiterate, apparently. But he was such an advanced devotee that the greatest scholar of that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, accepted him as a spiritual. Was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur looking at the scholarship of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur advised Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, looked only at the devotion of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So we can see from that, in order to become an advanced devotee, in order to become a good devotee, we do not have to become a big scholar. In order to become a good devotee, we simply have to become a big lover. Now do we have to become very scholarly in order to become a good lover? No. Scholarship has nothing to do with love. Love is just the warmth of the heart, the tenderness of the heart, the feelings of the heart. And that anybody can come. Old, young, rich, poor, wise, ignorant, man, woman, irrespective of all this consideration, anybody can develop this love for Krishna. So, this is what we have to understand. And here we are seeing Prabhupada is pointing out that one's spiritual advancement will be determined by the way he asks questions about the spiritual subject matter. And the whole process, the entire process is based on question answer. Bhagavad Gita is based on question answer between Arjuna and Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is based on question answer between sets of individuals like Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, Shaunaka Rishi, or the sages of Nainisharan and Sutta Goswami, and Narad and Prachina Bharahi, Narad and Prachetas, Vidura and Maitreya. All questions. question will go through. So, but these questions and answers are very, very important because they are in relation to the spiritual topic. And they are the very foundation of the spiritual advancement. Yesterday, in relation to Krishna going to Vidura's house, I was reading from Mahabharata, some chapters, and I found that everybody was very excited about that. Should we again continue from there? I was telling Narayan yesterday, I never seen the devotees so absorbed in a class like yesterday. Yeah. Okay, yes, by serving the devotees, we can get rid of our ego. By placing ourselves below the devotees and allowing ourselves to be directed by the devotees, we can get rid of our ego. Yeah, the process of devotional service will purify our heart of envy. So out of that, service to devotees is of course one very important thing. Because we tend to become envious, because we are surrounded by devotees, we can become envious of devotees. Right? Now how to get rid of that tendency? By serving the devotees. And that helps. And all the other processes, chanting, pure chanting, will help. Many chant submissively. By chanting, you see, we will recognize our insignificant position. The more we get to know Krishna, the more we become aware of our insignificant position. And to become free from envy, first of all, to become free from envy, we have to get rid of our false ego. Instead of thinking that we are big, we have to recognize that we are small. The more we recognize that we are small, then yes, we will become free from envy. And as you said, yes, service to the devotees is one very important thing. But that also has to be done in a humble state of mind. Like sometimes we may render service thinking that we are doing the devotees a great favor. Right? I'm serving you chapatis. If I didn't give you chapatis, you would be starving. So think, recognize how, what a great well-wisher I am of you. So if we, you see, like the service is being rendered, but if the attitude is not right, that will not. So it's a matter of, you know, being in a proper state of mind. Like internally, internally you have to be free from false ego.
Is it correct? Is Krishna put the root or setting the root and false ego and
values? Well, but what if somebody becomes envious of his guru? Yes, this is the right. You see, the guru is the teacher, and the guru guides the disciple on the spiritual path. And as one advances in spiritual path, one becomes free from the unearthliness and begins to get the taste. These are all actually preliminary things. Like Bhagavatam at the beginning is pointed out that unless one is free from envy, one will not be able to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The first qualification of Srimad Bhagavatam is that one has to be free from ignorance. So that is the prerequisite. But then again, like the other thing is that as we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we become free from envy. Even though we may have envy in our hearts, but by reading Srimad Bhagavatam under proper direction and guidance, we become free from envy. Yes, sir. Three questions. Well, it depends what's the state of one's advancement. There's no need to artificially display something, because the artificial display of something will not work. It will rather become detrimental. You see, if we are not naturally free from certain traits within ourselves, but if we're artificially doing it, we'll do it only for the time being. But then, it will blow off. Because, you know, if you do it artificially, then, you know, the grievances, the resentment keeps on painting up within. Because it's artificially done. And for how long can you keep it inside? You know, at some point it just comes out. Why do you think devotees bloop after so many years of service? Because they're practicing devotional service artificially. They're doing things artificially, not naturally. That's why it's painting up in the form of resentment, in the form of frustration. Therefore, you will notice when somebody leaves the movement, he becomes so inimical, so critical to the movement, because it has been gnawing him within his heart for so many years. Therefore, execute your devotional service happily, not artificially. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be a delight. And that's why a right association of devotees is so important. Because in the association of devotees, you begin to appreciate it, you begin to relish it, you begin to enjoy it. So, we do not have to become artificially brotherless, do it naturally. But at the same time, some sort of restraintment, some sort of restraint should be there. That is the Vaidhi-bhakti aspect. But it should be done in a proper, under proper guidance. And even if somebody leaves that association of devotees being and becomes resentful, sometimes we notice that after that, when he comes back, he becomes humble. Because now, by going through that, you know, all that was, you know, the steam inside that exploded, now is that it's out? Okay. It's peaceful. And as I was mentioning the other day, you see, nature has its way, hard way of, you know, purifying us. Like our mentality when we are in the prime of our youth, and our mentality when we are old, are not the same. Our attitude, our aspirations, our mentality is not the same. Right? Therefore, doesn't matter in whatever circumstances we are. The consideration is that remain attached to Krishna. Just remain attached to Krishna. Do whatever you are doing, remain attached to Krishna. And that is the meaning of Yukta Vairagya. Do whatever you are doing. You like to do something, do it. But do it for Krishna. The problem is, you like to do something, but you are doing something else. Because you think that that is what is actually real advanced state. That is what the real. But the, at the, what is the bottom line? The bottom line is you are looking for distinction, adoration, and profit. But what difference does it make how others are seeing us? What really matters is how I am here and how Krishna is seeing me, not how the rest of the world is seeing me. How Krishna is seeing me, that's the most important consideration. And when we allow ourselves to go in that direction, then everything will become wonderful. Therefore, one of the first consideration is that don't execute your devotional service artificially. Do it in a natural way that is making you appreciate it. Then there won't be any question of leaving it at any moment. Because when you appreciate it, then you'll be relishing it more and more as you continue the process. Answer the question? Okay. What's that? You said three questions. This is just one? Okay. If you have any doubt, question, ask the other devotees. And that's why you need a spiritual master. Mind is there, and you know, spontaneous devotion is there. Now to figure out which one is the mind and which is the spontaneous attraction, therefore you need to verify it from a spiritual. So what does a disciple do when one takes a spiritual master? He says goodbye to his mind and he replaces the mind with the spiritual master's instruction. No mind. No matter, never mind. Alright? And then, as we make advancement, as we become adept in the process, then the spiritual master actually begins to guide us from within, as Chaitanya. The spiritual master from the heart. But as long as the spiritual master is present, let's take advantage of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master becomes apricot, then we can listen to Chaitanya. But that also must be done at an advanced stage. And if there is any doubt, should be verified by other advanced devotees. Daina aspect. You see, Sharanagati has got six aspects. Daina, Atmanivedan, Guptritya Varan, Abhushurakhive Krishna Vishyash Palan, Bhakti Anukul Matra Karje Rushikar, Bhakti Pratikul Bhav Borjan. Out of these, the first is Daina, which is the humble disposition. You see, we are Sharanagati, we are taking shelter. Right? Can you take shelter if you are puffed up? So, in order to take shelter, even of Krishna, we have to get rid of our puffed up. And recognize how small, how fallen, how incompetent and incapable we are. And that is the Daina aspect. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we can do that. Because I decided not to go to the West as I was supposed to go in April. End of this month. So I'll be here for another month. So I can give a seminar. Yeah. Okay. 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 Very good. Krishna's friendship with Arjuna is in Hastinapur. And Krishna's friendship with Uddhav is in Dwarka. So, from that calculation, like degree of intimacy, Krishna's friendship with Uddhav is more intimate than Krishna's friendship with Arjuna. In Dwarka, Uddhav, Dwarka is above Hastinapur. And in Dwarka, Uddhav is the most intimate devotee of Krishna. He is the most intimate devotee. But then when Krishna sent Uddhav to Vrindavan, when Uddhav saw the advancement or intimacy of devotion of the residents of Vrindavan, Uddhav realized how insignificant is his devotion. And therefore he desired to be just a creeper. Vrindavane kimapi kulmatarushati. I wish to become a creeper in Vrindavan so that I can get the dust of these gopis at his feet. So this is how different levels of advancement have been described by our acharya.
Well, and how one spiritual advancement can be understood based on the kind of precious masses. So, how do we understand, like, what is the hierarchy in the level of questions? Which question is more advanced?
That you don't have to decide ourselves. Let it be decided. It's not a matter of competition. Let me ask the question in such a way that I'll be recognized as the most advanced. It's not that. The question is asked pranipatena for the question. Sincere inquiry in a humble spirit. Just like Sanatana Goswami. Such an advanced devotee. But what is he asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Ke ami? Amare kani jare tapatra. Who am I and why am I being afflicted by the threefold miseries of this material nature? So please tell me what will be beneficial for me. Right? Now Sanatana Goswami is not asking, please tell me what happened between Krishna and the gopis in the groves of Vrindavan. That is not the consideration. The consideration is sincere. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responding? He responded such a wonderful way. So here we have to understand that these devotees are asking these questions for our benefit. Through these questions and answers, common people will benefit. But at the same time, they are also relishing. When Sanatana Goswami is asking, who am I? Why am I being afflicted by the threefold miseries of the material nature? He means it. It's not that he is artificially asking a question. He means it. The question can be anything of any nature. But the intensity, sincerity, these are what is going to determine the state of his life. It is not that those who are asking about Radha Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are the most advanced devotees. It's not that. It's not something that's artificially done. Rather, somebody with all sincerity asks the question, I get angry so often. Please tell me what I should do. Right? If this simple question, which is very basic, with the intensity of sincerity, if you ask the question, that will become the indication of that transcript. Yes, Sony?
Just
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, those reply was not very... Yeah. So that's why I didn't really delve into that. So, the point is that just we can question ourselves. Like, say, you know, say, if I have something, should I keep it for my enjoyment or should I offer it to Krishna? A simple question like that. Well, don't take it personally. I'll ask a simple question. Don't take it personally. The money that you have in the bank, are you keeping it for yourself or you're ready to give it? Right, right. So that's an honest answer. Now that indicates that our love for ourselves and our family is greater than our love for Krishna. Isn't it? But if someday when our love becomes greater for Krishna than ourselves and our family, then we'll offer everything that we have to Krishna. And people do that. But my point is, don't do it artificially. When you develop that love, then only you do. If you are, as I was replying her question, like if you do it artificially, then it will become counterproductive. Do it naturally. So the consideration is not what you are doing for Krishna or giving to Krishna. The consideration is how much love you have developed for Krishna. That is the most important consideration, and that is actually the consideration. Right. Okay. Yes.
So Prabhupada wanted to also translate Mahabharata in Persian for some reason. So I just wanted to ask if something to would like to then sometime intentionally translate Mahabharata or some other books.
Not really. Like you see, Krishna Dharma Prabhu has done that already. It's a beautiful translation. This book is done by a devotee from Krishna Dharma. Goswami's books, yeah, now if we consider, you know, Goswami books are Ujjain projects. Actually, many devotees are asking me. But the thing is, my answer to that is actually, sometimes some of my goddaughters get very upset with me. For example, Jayadvita Maharaj gets really upset with me. He thinks that I should be just translating his books. But my answer to that is, there are many devotees who are actually translating and able to translate those books. But what I am doing here, not many devotees can do. Right? Therefore I am doing it here. Now the consideration is it important what I am doing here? What do you think? Now, if you all think that this project is not important, I should translate Goswami literatures, I am prepared to do that. Actually, I had been translating for how many years? 77 to 95. And that was my main service. So for 18 years I've been. But then in 95 I embarked in Abhayacharan. And when the Abhayacharan was complete, now I embarked in the Ujjain project. And let us see what happens now. If someday Krishna says go back to translating the Goswami literatures, and if he gives enough indication, yes, really I'll do that. And if you can take over this project and handle it, fine, then I will just go to Barnagar Road, that far. Often I think that, you know, I can make a kutia on the bank of Gambhir River. It'll be so wonderful. Okay, sir. Okay. Yeah. To tell you frankly, I haven't been able to read Krishna Dharma Prabhu's Mahabharat fully. Yeah, this I read long time ago. That is by Kamala Subramaniam. Very beautifully written. Simple. But prior to that, I read the Bengali translation of Mahabharata. And prior to that, my aunt used to read Mahabharata to us when we were children. Oh yeah, right. Krishna Dharma is better. Because it's written by a devotee. She is not, devotee of some sort, but she is not a disciple of Prabhupada. Or she is not an ISKCON devotee. She may be a devotee, but she is not an ISKCON devotee. That makes a big difference. TV serial. Yeah, maybe Chiranjeev will do that. I am actually setting up Chiranjeev so that he can pursue that direction. He is very talented in that way. He has his passion. We are setting up our production unit. Yeah. And I'll give him the assistance. Really what we'll do is, anyway, let us see. When we do the TV serial on Mahabharata, that will be it. So it will take probably some time. Yes. That's why actually I sent Chiranjeev to Calcutta. Surely to give him all the help. Sagar he didn't meet Prabhupada, but he came and spent some time with us in Mayapur. Ramananda Sagar came to Mayapur before doing Krishna. He spent some time. And the credit that has been given is for the paintings that they used. And they may have taken some aspects of Prabhupada's books. Okay, so should we end now or should we just read up?